Welcome to this afternoon session, and we will start with the poster prize talk. And before starting with the talk, we actually want to give a brief introduction. So, in the previous days, we had two poster sessions with about 30 posters, and as we announced in the very beginning, there was a poster committee to evaluate the posters, and the poster prize winner will be given the opportunity to present a short talk. And before announcing the winner, we just wanted to congratulate all of the poster presenters for very nice talks. The poster committee had a hard time in actually figuring out what the best posters were. And in particular, there were three posters who were highly praised by the committee, and therefore the committee decided to give two honorable mentions besides the poster prize. So,
thank you. At this point, we also would like to thank the members of the Poster Prize Committee who agreed to be in the Poster Prize Committee and took the time to look at the posters and meet to decide on the best posters. And we are happy to announce that the two honorable mentions go to Yuri Ratkovsky and Yannick Kluk.
Could you, Yuri and Yannick, please come down for a second?
Yes. So congratulations to both of you. And a little gift for both of you. Happy eye battle. Thanks a lot. The poster prize instead goes to Eloise Delaporte. Eloise, you can come here. Congratulations, Eloise.
Thanks.
Yes, you can.
Thanks.
And so Eloise is a PhD student at CP3 Origins, University of Southern Denmark. And as a part of the poster prize, she is going to give a short talk on a research on parametrization of black hole spacetimes beyond circularity.
Okay. I would like to thank the poster committee and also the organizers for giving me the opportunity to talk about parametrizations of black hole spacetime beyond circularity. So this is based on a paper that appeared in CQG last year, and a work with my supervisor, Astrid Eichhorn, and with a collaborator, Aaron Held. So let me start with some disclaimers. Since I'm going to talk about black hole spacetime, I would like to say that none of the following black hole metric I will discuss arise as solution from an action principle. And that is linked to the fact that we have chosen a parameterized approach that I'm going to explain. And also, none of the following black hole spacetime metrics are intrinsically quantum, although they are quantum inspired. And that's what I would call beyond GR spacetimes. So let me give you some motivation. So we are now entering the phase where we can test GR and the Kerr hypothesis. And this is, for example, because we could access the near horizon properties of black holes, especially through black hole shadow images that were released by the Event Horizon Telescope. And two interesting questions that I would like to raise is, how do quantum-inspired black holes look like, for example, in their shadow images? And how do they look like in terms of their space-time symmetries? So I'm going to focus especially on this second question in this talk. And I will also only consider axisymmetric, stationary, and asymptotically flat black hole spacetime. And I would like to mention that there are different approaches to answer those questions, among which the one I will focus on, which is the parameterized approach. So what is the parameterized approach? We can basically take three different routes if we want to go beyond GR and study black hole spacetime. The first one is the so-called fundamental. I would say it's top-down because you pick up your favorite quantum gravity theories which encodes some quantum new physics effect, like new fields or higher order curvature terms or whatever. And then you try to derive radical solutions within this quantum gravity theory. I would say that it's not fully comprehensive in the sense that if you want to compare and also compare with GR spacetimes, you need to repeat that for every quantum gravity theories, compare the solutions among them, and then also compare to GR solutions. So this is quite a lot of work. You can complement this with the parameterized approach, which is more bottom-up. So in this approach, you start from a metric that is not connected to a special quantum gravity theories, and you parameterize deviation from GR in this metric. And in principle, this parameterized deviation could be constrained because you have parameters that then you can like derive the shadow images and see if you can constrain those parameters. And this is theory agnostic in this sense. And one example that I will mention is the non-circular parameterization of black holes. And finally, there is a third one that I will also use at some point, which is a bit the route in between. It's similar to the parameterized one, but you try to motivate the deviations from from guiding principles, new physics guiding principles, to have a bit more connection with the physics. And within this route, you can obtain regular black hole spacetime metrics. And this is, for example, the case if you take the Kerr metric and you upgrade the mass to a mass function in a particular way, then you can obtain a regular black hole. So Francesco mentioned the regular black hole this morning. Here I'm only talking about regularity in the sense of no curvature singularity. I'm not talking about geodesic incompleteness. Okay. So let me guide you through the three main results of our paper. There is a fourth one, but I will not have time to talk about it. So the first one is the realization that most of the existing parameterizations of spacetime beyond GR actually assume one or two symmetries. And those symmetries are namely circularity and the existence of an additional constant of motion. So circularity holds if those two conditions apply at every spacetime point. And those two conditions involves the two Killing vectors of your spacetime and your Ricci tensor. So it basically restricts your Ricci tensor in the direction of your Killing vectors. And it corresponds to a spacetime isometry in general. And the spacetime isometry takes a simple form in the Bayer-Lindquist coordinates, where actually your spacetime is invariant or your metric is invariant under the simultaneous transformation, which sends t to minus t and phi to minus phi. So regarding the constant of motion, this is constructed out of the rank 2 Killing tensor, which is a generalization of your Killing vector, contracted with your four velocity. So why is it that interesting? It's that in vacuum GR solutions, since they are Ricci flat, circularity holds automatically, and there is also this additional constant of motion. But it has been shown that in some non-vacuum GR spacetime, such as a magnetized neutron star, and also in some beyond GR spacetime derived within scalar tensor and vector tensor theories, circularity actually breaks down. So those symmetries that were assumed might not hold when you go beyond GR. So in order to see a bit more how those what is the impact of these symmetries on the metric? Let me start by looking at the metric component and the free functions. So if you start from a black hole that is axisymmetric and stationary, you have a six metric component and six free functions. But as you add circularity, you reduce the number of metric components because you impose an extra symmetry. And this you can see with the most general circular metric that is shown here. It only has five metric components and five free functions that you can actually reduce to four free functions with a particular choice of coordinates. Now, if on top you had a constant of motion, you still have the same number of metric components, but now your free function only depends on one coordinate at a time. So your functions in the metric only depends on one coordinate, and this forms a subclass of the circular metric. Okay. Let me now give you the second result. Since we saw that most parameterization assume these circularities, why not proposing a parameterization that goes beyond and is actually non-circular? So this is what we did. This metric is actually written in another set of coordinates, which seems to be preferred for non-circular spacetimes. So those are horizon penetrating coordinates and not Bayer-Lindquist. So, and this has deviation functions, which are the delta HP, and there are six of them. So if you turn them to zero, then you recover the Kerr metric. But now if you tell them to be non-zero, then you have, in general, a non-circular parameterization. And those delta deviations satisfy some particular properties, so you want them to be zero at infinity, and you want them to fall off in one of, at least one over r squared. You only recover Fratt-Minkowski spacetime as m is going to zero, so m being the mass, if your deviation parameters are proportional to m, and if you don't have any extra quantum here. And this spacetime reduced to circular spacetimes, it's so actually you have to solve the circularity condition. This is very hard, but you can find some simple cases for which you obtain a circular spacetime. And this is when you take the deviations to be all equal to the same constant, or in some other particular way. So one challenge, as I just mentioned, is how can you relate this parameterization that is written in horizon penetrating coordinate to the general parameterization that I showed earlier, which was in Bayer-Lindquist coordinate. And as I said, this is really hard. So we use the counting argument as a proof of principle to show that we can, in principle, go from one to the other. So in the space time I showed before, we have six free function, so the delta I, and we also have eight free function coming from the change of coordinates. So this is 14, and then we also have constraint, and the constraint comes from the fact that we have to cancel some metric components, so five of them to retrieve the other metric that has less metric component, and we also have some differential constraint on the coordinate transformation. And therefore, if you do the counting, you end up with at least five free functions, which matches with the number of free functions in the general circular metric. So in principle, you can relate one to the other. Now, the third key result is that we have looked at Black-Hole shadow images, and we could realize that these non-circular spacetime metrics led to specific image features that we could not see in the circular case. So I will show one example that is included in the non-circular parameterization, namely a regular black hole, and this one was obtained by taking the mass to a mass function, and this mass function has a specific form. And this is done by taking some delta deviations to be zero and some taking this particular form. And what we could obtain, so the images I show are zoom on the Black-Hole shadow image on one particular side, so on the prograde side. And on the left panel, you see a non-circular spacetime, and on the right panel, a circular one. And you can visually see that there are some differences, namely that in the non-circular case, you find three specific image features. And those are cusps, both in the shadow boundary and in the photon rings around. Also a dent at the axis y equals zero, and a broken reflection symmetry also around this axis. And this this last feature only appears when you have an inclination that is not zero or pi over two. Okay, so since I could see that puzzles were attracting many physicists and were efficient, let me finish with some puzzling questions. One that I already mentioned, the how to properly relate the non-circular parameterization to the circular one by solving the circularity conditions. One is, okay, we have proposed a non-circular parameterization, but is it the most general one? And another question, is it the minimal one? Like maybe we need less than six free functions. Maybe we only need three, maybe four. So how can we find the minimal one? Another one is regarding this image features, can we do a one-to-one map between the non-circularity and the existence of all the three image features we saw? And finally, a more tricky one maybe is that the spacetime I show had a non-constant angular velocity, which probably implies a non-constant surface gravity at the event horizon. And what does it imply for the backward thermodynamics? And also maybe what does it imply for the instabilities that were mentioned by Francesco? So yeah, thank you very much.
We have time for some questions.
Thank you very much for the nice talk. If you could show the pictures for the black hole shadow once more.
Yes.
What is the emission geometry that you assume?
Sorry?
What is the emission geometry that you assume? So do you have a flat disk or a puffy disk or?
So in that case, we were assuming a simple disk model. So an emission in a thin disk and without absorption. In some cases, you want to reduce the, let's say, astrophysical dependence on your result. You can average over several disk models and take the image as being the average over all the disk models you have.
Okay, thank you.
And so it's not a simulation. It's not GRMHD simulation. No, it's just ray tracing applied to space-time geometry plus simple disk model.
Thank you.
Other questions? Maybe I have one. So how does the cost depend on the scale of new physics? So what should I have as a scale new physics in order to have that somewhat visible?
I think this is a good question. I think it wasn't explored. In the mass, so the dependence on the new physics is entering in the mass function. And in principle, this is a free parameter. So you would be able to tune it, I mean, to vary it and see the inference on the image. But, I mean, for that one, one specific value was chosen. So I would expect if the new physics scale is larger, you would see more impact than if it was smaller. But this is, I have not explored this.
And does this also depend on the black hole mass?
The black hole mass is, yes, entering in the mass function. If the black hole mass is higher, then you have a more compact geometry, so that I would expect this to shrink. But I would not expect it to change the features, the cusps and so on.
Other questions? Bernie?
It is a question online from Fabian Wagner, and it's the following. In top-down models with additional fields, I guess that light does not have to follow geodesics anymore. Couldn't one extend the parametrized approach this way?
Sorry, I haven't understood the question.
In top-down models with additional fields, I guess that light does not have to follow geodesics anymore. Couldn't one extend the parametrized approach this way?
I don't think that at the moment we have a map between the top-down and the bottom-up. Like, just because you have no connection to the physics in the parameterized approach, so I don't think so.
Okay, I see no other questions, so in this case I would thank Eloise again.